We turn now to the second Mishnah, our chapter, where the first Mishnah dealt with prohibitions that mostly had to do with sexual and marital violations. We're now turning to a Mishnah that's mostly about eating violations. And as in the first Mishnah, where we began with prohibitions that incur the penalty of kares, and the point seemed to be that kares also brings along with it a physical punishment of lashes, even though kares is divinely imposed, there's still the human-imposed punishment of lashes, so too we begin with a number of prohibitions in our second Mishnah that incur kares. So, hatamesha achal es hakodesh, someone who is impure, who eats sanctified goods. V'haba el hamikdash tamei, and someone who enters the temple while in a state of ritual impurity. Va'ochel chalev, and someone who eats the forbidden fats, specific fats that are forbidden by the Torah to us. V'dam, someone who eats the blood of an animal. V'nosar, someone who eats from a sacrifice after the prescribed time in which it must be eaten. Every sacrifice has a specific amount of time in which it must be eaten. If you eat it after that time, that's called nosar. Upigul, if you eat a sacrifice where the Kohen offering it had the incorrect thought, they thought it was going to be one kind of sacrifice, but it turned out to be another kind. Vitame, or if you eat an impure sacrifice, you're not impure, that was the first thing in this list, but rather the sacrifice you ate was impure. Hashochet v'amale b'chutz, someone who slaughters or offers a sacrifice outside of the sacred precincts. Va'ochal chametz v'pesach, someone who eats leavened goods, chametz, on Pesach. Va'ochel va'osa melacha b'yom kippurim, or someone who eats or does prohibited labor on Yom Kippur. All of these are prohibitions that generally incur kares, and like we saw in the first Mishnah, when you have that divine imposed punishment of kares, you also get a human imposed punishment of lashes. Continuing with the temple theme, v'amafatem es ha-shemen, v'amafatem es ha-ketores, v'asach b'shemen ha-mishcha, someone who makes the oil that is needed in the temple, the anointing oil, v'amafatem es ha-ketores, or someone who makes the incense according to the recipe that's meant for the temple incense, v'asach b'shemen ha-mishcha, or someone who anoints with the anointing oil. Now, it's a little funny that we go from oil to incense back to oil. Both the Tosefta and the Talmud understand the Shemen HaMishcha here, not as referring to any old oil from the temple, not that that's any old oil, that's already consecrated oil, but specifically the anointing oil that Moshe himself made in the Torah. If you use that, idea here is that all of these things are things that are set aside for the temple for special purposes, and if you do any of these, in addition to the Kares punishment, you would also get lashes. Now we move to some regular old prohibitions, those that don't have a punishment listed in the Torah. And as I said with the first Mishnah, when there's no punishment listed, the rabbinic default is you get lashes for that. So here we go. Ha'ochal nevelos utrefos, someone who eats improperly or non-slaughtered animals. Utrefos, animals that have been slaughtered properly, but upon inspection turn out not to be kosher. Shkatzim uramasim, or creepy crawly things, insects. Achal tevel umaser rishon shalonit la trumaso, or if someone ate tevel, I'll explain that word in a moment, or the first tithe which has not had its truma taken. Now, tevel refers to produce that's not been properly tithed. When you have produce, you have to set aside a portion of it for the priests, for the kohanim, and if you don't do it, it is called tevel, it is radioactive, you are not allowed to eat that, and this brings along with it a punishment of, in addition to misa bidei shamayim, divine death penalty, which according to the rabbis is slightly different from kares, but like kares, which is a divinely imposed punishment, you also get the humanly imposed punishment of lashes. So that's tevel. And likewise, the first tithe, which is supposed to be given to the Levium, and then the Levium have to take a portion of that and give it to the Kohanim. They have to take their own truma from the tithe that they receive. If you eat that first tithe without taking the truma, that also is going to get you lashes. And finally, maser sheni v'hekdesh lo niftu. The second tithe, another tenth of the produce, which is given, actually not given to anyone, but brought to Jerusalem in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. And in those years, you have to eat that in Jerusalem, but you can redeem it, exchange it for money, and bring that money with you to Jerusalem and buy food with that money instead of schlepping all your produce with you to Jerusalem. And likewise, hekdesh lo niftu. So if you ate either second tithe or sanctified goods, neither of which have been exchanged for money, that also will get you lashes. And this last list, going back to the tevel, the untithed produce, what they all have in common is that these are things that actually are fixable, right? If you eat pig, there's nothing you can do to make that pig kosher. Tevel, untithed produce, Well, if you take the tithes from it before you eat it, it's actually kosher now. Likewise, all these things, the first tithe that hasn't had its truma taken, you could have taken the truma. The second tithe that you didn't redeem, you could have redeemed it. So these are all things that you could have actually fixed it, but you didn't, and therefore it's still forbidden, and you get lashes. Our Mishnah concludes with a discussion of shiurim, of the amount one has to consume in order to be culpable. Kama yochal min atevel v'yechayiv. How much must a person eat from untithed produce such they would be culpable for lashes? Rabbi Shimon omer kol shehu. Rabbi Shimon says any amount. The chachamim omrim kazayas. But the sages say, no, you need to eat an olive's worth of tevel in order to be culpable for the punishment of lashes. It's still forbidden at less than that amount, but you're not going to get a punishment for it. Amar lam Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said back to them, Ein atem modim li ba'ochel nemala kol shehu chayav? Don't you guys agree with me, says Rabbi Shimon, that if a person ate an ant, a creepy crawly thing that is much smaller than an olive's worth, don't you agree that such a person would be culpable? Amrulo, mipnei shekivriyasa. Yes, it's true. If you eat an ant, you're going to be culpable, but that's because that's like it was created, which, to be honest, is a bit of an obscure phrase, but the way it's traditionally understood is it's the whole thing. It's not a part of an animal. It's the animal as it was created. Amar lahen, so Rabbi Shimon says back to them, afchita achas kevriyasa. Even a grain of wheat, it might be part of a larger wheat stock, but that grain of wheat is as it was created. Now, this concept of bria, at least as the sages hold it here, referring to a whole animal, actually remains very relevant nowadays in kashrus law. Many of you know that when something forbidden falls into something permitted, if the permitted overrides the forbidden by a ratio of 60-1, it's nullified. It's as if that forbidden thing is not in the mix, and you can go ahead and eat that thing. However, one of the exceptions to that rule is that the thing that fell in was a bria, was a whole creature. So for example, if an ant falls into your chalent pot, even though the chalent is way more than 60 times the ant, if it's a whole ant, it would in fact not be nullified. This position, as articulated by the sages here, continues to play a role in our food laws to this very day.